Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word that you've given to us. As we look forward to hearing it read and preached, we ask that you would work mightily amongst us. There would be great unction in this gathering of your people. We're looking forward to see how the Spirit will be revealing Christ to us and teaching us, and how we might grow as disciples and even be drawn to repentance and faith in Christ, and all of this for your glory, Father. So we ask that you might feed us, and your servant would decrease and Christ would increase, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series in Acts. If you'll turn to Acts chapter 20, we'll be concluding chapter 20 together this morning, verses 17 through 38 we'll be looking at. And as you're turning in your Bibles, tapping on your devices, getting to the passage, I remind you that Acts is written to confirm the certainty that the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. Now, Paul here is making a stop. He has his mind and heart, as it were, set on getting to Jerusalem. He has a time frame. He's trying to get to Jerusalem before a particular date. And he takes a moment to stop and call on the elders there in Ephesus as he seeks to, once again, for a last time, visit with the Ephesian church that he spent multiple years ministering to. He calls these elders together. What we're going to see is his last final charge to them, as he is literally giving his parting charge. He knows he won't see them again, and he wants to leave with them their duty. He wants to encourage them and call them to service of our great God. So listen, God's word as I read Acts chapter 20, verse 17 to 38. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. You know, the Bible, especially the New Testament, is clear that God has given to his church, the New Covenant church, elders and deacons as gifts that the church might function in the way that he has designed it, as we see in the scriptures. And we are a new church, a church plant being started, and we are thankful for temporary, as it were, deacons and elders that come to us from our mother church that help in overseeing and getting things started. But we are excited, I know all of us, anticipating the day in which the Lord will raise up amongst us elders and deacons, men who will serve in this role. You know, thankfully, God has given us qualifications we might understand, particularly as we look at the elder today and this charge given by Paul that we see in the New Testament, particularly in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, we see the qualifications given for what type of men should serve as elders in the church. And it's very important, we see in these lists, as you work your way through them and you read them, and encourage you to do that, we see that the elder, the man who will serve in this role, must know God's word, be competent to teach it. It's important that they have the gifts of teaching and preaching, the ability to do these things and minister in prayer, word, and sacraments. But the list, at least two-thirds of the things that God gives as qualifications focus on the godly character of the man who will serve as elder. So pray and look for that. Look for, as we are moving ahead, look for both elders and deacons, men that are doing the work already amongst us. Look for, particularly in elders, yes, men who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, who are able to teach them and make them clear and to counsel. But let us not make the mistake that sadly I think some do and miss the importance of looking for the godly character of the men who will serve. So the Bible's clear about the task of the elders. I mentioned the ministry of prayer, word, sacrament. We see that ministry being, as it were, unrolled, laid out here in this charge, as Paul's talking to these Ephesian elders, as he is for the last time leaving with them a word. He's charging them what we see here. This main point I hope we don't miss, that God calls his elders to be watchmen, shepherds, and protectors of his church. And that's the three things we're going to look at this morning: watchmen of the church, shepherds of the church, and protectors of the church. So watchmen of the church. Elders are to bring to bear the complete message of God from the whole counsel of the Bible. Paul employs this imagery of a watchman, which you may think, well, we're reading through, I didn't necessarily hear watchman. Well, the imagery actually is drawn from Ezekiel. When we read in verse 26 and 27 here in Acts, he talks about how he did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. And he testifies to the elders. He says, "My hands are clean of your blood, because I said everything that God gave to be said. I opened the scriptures to you. I taught you. I held nothing back." Well, when you go and you read in Ezekiel, you see this imagery where God tells Ezekiel, "Proclaim everything that I tell you so that your hands will be free from the blood of my people. Warn them, proclaim the gospel, call them to repentance and faith. And so he's using that watchman imagery that's unpacked in Ezekiel that talks about how in an ancient city you would have watchmen on the wall and they would be up there and their job was to look out and to see danger coming. That they then could immediately tell the city, danger's on the way. Get everyone in the walls. Shut the door. There are armies approaching. And if the watchmen did their job and they proclaimed when the danger was coming, then the blood of the city was off of their hands. But if a watchman was napping or noticed something but didn't care, then the blood of the city would be on that watchman's hands. That's the imagery that Paul is proclaiming, that he is a watchman and elders are watchmen. And he's telling these elders that they need to be watchmen of the church. They need to serve in that role in a faithful way. And one of the things about being a watchman, as it is for elders, is they see the dangers that are coming. And oftentimes the dangers they see don't make them the most popular people when they proclaim them. Because most of the dangers are things that many people perhaps have begun to grow accustomed to in the world. And when the watchmen call them out, it is by God's grace that the church listens and hears the proclamation of truth and warning and the gospel and the things that are coming against the church. Elders are, as we see Paul here saying, giving to us this clear watchman, elders are those who must proclaim the whole counsel of God, not just certain things, pulling a verse here or there, picking what might tickle the ears of their hearers. One of the ways that we work at Christ Church and in our circles, one of the ways that we seek as elders to avoid doing just that is to work through whole books of the Bible at a time. Instead of having always topical or little, you know, here, there, jumping around the Bible, if we work through a whole book and we preach through it, we teach through it, then it's hard to ignore anything you come across, because hopefully immediately someone would come up and say, wait a minute, I noticed we just skipped that whole section, that chapter. Why did we not talk about it? Why did we not hear it in a sermon? And so you see that we deal with all that God has laid out, all that God has given to us, the whole counsel, all of the gospel. Elders are like the watchmen. They are to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim repentance and faith in Christ to everyone. We do that here publicly in corporate worship. We do it privately as we interact, as Paul said, from house to house, as we do elder visits. And we also do it in the community. We have a calling to do it. We don't look for just, you know, certain areas particularly. We look in our area. Boom. God has providentially put us, and we seek to proclaim His word, truth, to the community. We don't differentiate between those around us. We cry out to those who are young. We cry out to those who are old. We cry out to those who are poor, who are rich. We cry out to folks of all ethnicities, whatever it may be. We are watchmen crying out the warnings and proclaiming the only hope that there is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, elders are to have a compassionate urgency in this ministry. We see that. A compassionate urgency in proclaiming God's word, the gospel, and the scriptures. Paul had one for 3 years. He said with tears he didn't cease to proclaim the truth to those who were there in Ephesus. Back to this watchman imagery, the watchmen were dealing with life and death. They failed their job, there were very real consequences. They did their job, there were good, real consequences. And elders, like watchmen, have the reality and the seriousness of heaven and hell, life and death that they are dealing with. Will they be those who, not wanting to offend, hold back from bringing the warnings that need to come from God's word, leaving the gospel on the table? Or will they be courageous and bold and loving and gentle as they bring to bear in your life the reality and the truth of the warnings that you need to hear, and being pointed to the tenderness of our Savior? As one pastor writes about this very This very thing, talking of Paul and elders, he spoke with self-forgetting urgency because he was utterly focused on the eternal spiritual well-being of those he served, not his own comfort or convenience. He ministered with all humility, not to boost his ego or enhance his reputation, but to draw others to Jesus. Paul knew God had sovereignly chosen a people for himself whom he would surely regenerate, preserve, and glorify. Yet that assurance never bred in Paul cold indifference to his hearers. Rather, with tears, he urged people to repent in belief. Paul is the one on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who pens. You remember earlier in Acts, Luke, writes that all those appointed unto salvation by God will be saved. And yet, knowing that great truth, the elder is called to never have a complacency and to just sit back and let these things happen, but to be active and compassionate and urgent in being a disciple, a watchman who cries out. Repentance and faith. Urgency that drives preaching, teaching, counseling in the community, corporate worship, and in our gatherings and in our visitation. But it isn't just elders. For all Christians, do you have the urgency to desire to see watchmen like this, elders who serve in such a way? Do you have an urgency to hear the warnings that are brought? Not only the warnings, but the beauty of the gospel laid before you, the promises of our faithful God. Is there an urgency to hear these things? Watchmen of the church, we also see shepherds of the church in this call. Elders are called by God to care for the church, paying careful attention to themselves and to the church, to the flock in the local congregation. Now, there is an aspect in this paying attention to themselves that the elder needs to pay attention to himself, but it's a much greater and better thing than that. What Paul is telling these elders, what God is saying to elders, you are to pay attention to each other, which is good. We don't have one man, king or bishop, but we have elders paying attention to one another. We have a plurality of elders. That's why in the local church we have multiple elders on a session who serve. And they, by God's design, are supposed to be keeping a loving eye on one another. And then, outside of the local church and Presbyterianism, we have the geographical bounds of presbytery where elders from different churches are keeping a loving, encouraging, but when needed, rebuking eye on one another. And then we go even larger, and presbyteries are looked at by other presbyteries and lovingly held accountable. This is part of God's design, ways that He seeks to protect the church. For you see, this shepherd imagery is another one. It's an imagery that comes from Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And in that, the shepherds in the Old Covenant, the priests, there was a season you can read in both those books where they had left the responsibilities and duties and instead had turned. And no longer were they seeking to care and shepherd the sheep, but they sought to exploit, abuse, and devour the sheep. And God spoke judgment against them, and we have the promise there that they would, in their failure, that the great shepherd would come, the Savior, that God Himself would shepherd His people, and that He would give a plurality of shepherds to care for His local church. And that's why it's important that elders, what Paul is giving this charge here, that elders not to be suspicious of one another, but at the same time be rigorous in our loving accountability and our service to God and His people for the protection of the sheep. Elders minister to the spiritual needs of the sheep. They tend to the sheep that are hurt. They pursue the sheep that stray. They rebuke the rebellious sheep that are running around and headbutting the other sheep. They equip the sheep in all things in God's word. There's some pretty wild videos on YouTube you can find of things and that shepherds and different folks have done with flocks of sheep in America and in Europe, where they'll use drones and train dogs and even sometimes four-wheelers, and they will drive sheep. And there's even been some where they'll drive sheep in such a way that they cause these large, huge flocks to put on almost, as it were, like a show. It's pretty wild. But what they're doing in modern shepherding is they're driving the sheep. They're buzzing them with drones that freak them out and make the sheep go places. But in the ancient Israel, that is not how the shepherds cared for sheep. They didn't get behind the sheep and beat them with sticks so they go where they want to go. But instead, the Israeli shepherds would be in the front of the sheep, and they would be walking and calling the sheep to follow them. And the sheep would stay with them. They would get to know the voice of their shepherd. Perhaps maybe some of the imagery for those who have read through the Gospels and Christ's proclamation of who he is, the great shepherd. Well, you'll pick up on some of these things. But they drew the sheep. They draw the sheep. And that's how elders care for the flock. They're not the modern shepherd behind who has multiple drones that are buzzing the flock and pushing them into different directions. But instead, it's an enticing, it's a drawing, it's a follow me as I follow Christ, the great shepherd. You know, healthy Presbyterianism is beautiful because it's God's form of church government, we believe, and it's given to us in the scriptures. Now, when it's healthy, it's working. When it's not healthy, like everything else, it fails, and then the sheep get sadly abused at different times, hurt, things fall through the cracks. But when it's healthy, when we are pursuing it the way that God has given it to us, we see that elders care for the sheep and elders care for each other. And in the midst of all this, Christ is caring for his entire church. And the shepherding that we all need happens. As I mentioned, God gives a plurality of elders in the church to provide this good care and accountability, preventing the abuse of his flock, his sheep. So again, let's pray. Let's pray for the elders that God is going to raise up amongst us. Let's pray for the men that will serve Christ's church as we grow and the church is built. As we pray for the elders we're going to get, let us pray for the elders and deacons, the officers that will be, we pray, serving this new local congregation, this church, as it seeks to be faithful to the Lord until his return. And let us pray for these elders and deacons, that they will listen to the charge given here, and that they will love one another, that they will be a brotherhood, that they will serve Christ vigorously and courageously. But in that service, they will love each other enough to not let anything pass. That they'll be there to correctly be iron sharpening iron in the accountability that God puts in place, so that the flock may be protected and served and shepherded. Elders shepherd and remember as they do that the care they're giving is to a church of infinite value. And the church is of infinite value because Christ died for the church. It's of infinite value because Jesus is of infinite value. His death for the church shows us the great love that he has for his people. Maybe something to think about today. It's a rainy day. I'll give you something to do this afternoon. Think about what would it be like if the American church, the church across the world, if Christians viewed the church the way that Jesus views the church. If we treated the church the way Jesus treats the church. humbly think that we would see a radical, radical change for the good in the church and outside of it, and how we would make impacts of salt and light, how we would love one another, and how evident that would be seen by those around us. As Jesus said, my disciples will be known for the love they have for each other in such a way that it would literally break the minds of those who see it. How is it possible that folks that are so different could love one another so selflessly? All of it centered upon and rooted in and established upon Christ. So elders must shepherd always, remembering that Jesus died for his church and that Jesus loves his church. Those are kind of godly men we want as elders, who love Jesus, but at the same time have a good, robust, healthy fear that they would do anything to hurt the bride of Christ, and seek to faithfully serve and to serve Christ by serving his people. But it's not just, you know, just the elders here, of course. We don't think about all Christians. I mean, do you think about how much Christ loves the church? Do you think about the gift that elders and deacons are? Do you pray for our future elders and deacons? Do you love the church? Watchmen of the church, shepherds of the church. And the last thing in this charge that we see is protectors of the church. Elders are to protect the church from dangers that come from outside and from dangers that come from within. We live in a strange time. We live in a time that a culture that seeks to silence, shame, and push away real men. And in doing that, a vacuum is being filled with foolishness. And so there are lots of young men who have been shamed and told it's not good to be a man, and they're looking to examples that are silly and ridiculous and harmful. What we need are elders who are real men. And we need all of our men to be real men, but particularly our elders. Godly men who are faithful to Christ above all, who are selfless in their service, who are loving, who are protectors of the bride of Christ, who will lay down their own lives in service as they look to the example of the great shepherd. Now he laid down his life for his church. Those are the men that we're looking for and praying for, to serve as elders, watchmen, shepherds, and protectors of the church. We want elders who will protect Christ's church from the wolves of the world that come. We don't want men who will run, who are hirelings, that when the wolves come, they disappear and the flock is devoured. We don't want men who are afraid to deal with the wolves, the people, the philosophies, the temptation, the things that come from the world and attack the sheep. But we also pray for and want and desire elders who will protect Christ's church from wolves that are within. And sometimes those wolves are a lot harder to see and they do a lot more damage. The wolves that wear sheep's clothing, that are the exact opposite of the real godly men we need, but instead are folks who are not faithful, folks who are not selfless but selfish, folks who are not loving but are bullies and brutal, and are seeking, like those old covenant priests, about how might they devour the flock for their own good. Those who would not lay down their lives but want others to lay down their life for them. those who would come and, as Paul says boldly to them, those who will come up and twist the scriptures, twist the gospel, those who will sow division and schism. There will be those who will, as it were, run around biting the other sheep. Those are the wolves that need to be dealt with within the flock. We need to pray that the Lord would give us these men, but pray for protection from these types of wolves, as it were. And then remember that when we find ourselves wanting to be good sheep, but acting, as it were, like wolves, that we would be quick to ask for forgiveness from our Lord and forgiveness from one another, and cover our sins with love. Elders are only able to do this, to serve in this way as watchmen, shepherds, and protectors. They're only able to serve the Lord and His church faithfully because God is working through them. Hopefully, as we've been going through these last few minutes and you're hearing all these things, you're like, this is great. There are no men like that. We're never going to have elders. How are you an elder? Like, it's not possible. But God. Praise the Lord. It is He who is working under shepherds, or under shepherds of Christ, the Spirit working through them. We can do all these things because of God. That's why this charge can be heard by elders, and because of Christ, because of the work of the Spirit in the church, because of our Heavenly Father, because of the promises that our triune God has given to us in His Word, we can trust that these things can happen and will be done as He has said. And even when we see unhealthy train wrecks happen, we can trust that there's forgiveness in God, and that God is carrying His church through these things. And just because we may have seen or witnessed or heard about a way that it did not work out, that it will not work the way that God has promised by His grace amongst us. You know, Christ gives us many promises. We can read them. Our time is short. I'll let you read them. Hebrews chapter 13, Matthew 16, John 14, these promises that Jesus gives that He will build His church, these promises that Christ gives that He will care for us, look after us, tend to the sheep. But in all this, we remember our strength and hope is in Jesus. It is our Lord who is our strong tower, who is our shield, who is our provider, who is our shepherd. We are thankful for the gifts He gives in elders and deacons, but we remember ultimately as the Lord Jesus Christ that is King of the church. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who is caring for us. Our hope is not in the gifts that are given, but in the giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see these watchmen of the church, shepherds of the church, protectors of the church. May we remember God calls His elders to be watchmen, shepherds, and protectors of His church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Even as we read here in this recording of Paul's last visit with the elders in Ephesus, as he gives to them a charge which expands out to a charge to all of Your elders in Your church throughout all of history, that we might hear and prayerfully seek to heed. And so we pray that You might bless us with elders just like this, and that You would help us to be a congregation that would be thankful for the gifts You give, but more than all, we would be thankful for You are the giver of the gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.